Get your Bibles out, if you will. I have shortened the song service a little bit today on purpose, but take your Bibles, turn to Titus chapter 3. Folks, I have worked on the temperature in here. It's warm. I know it. Thank you. Titus chapter 3. I've had the air on for hours, but the outside temperature's not been conducive to AC for some reason. Titus chapter 3, we're going to read verses 1 through 7 together, and we'll read this passage responsively. Titus chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Titus 3, verses 1 through 7. Ready? Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and to powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Titus chapter 3, we're on verse number 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, watch this, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. And finish on verse 7, ready? Justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Turn to Ephesians 5, just a few pages back. Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to read one verse here. Ephesians chapter 5. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to look at verse number 26, and I want us to read it all in unison together. I'm trying to wait. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. Everybody ready? Here we go. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Ephesians 5, 26. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, I need you today. Help me as I try to preach. Lord, I'm a sinner like everybody else. Lord, this church is a hospital where hurting people come to get help. There's no way that in my flesh I could help them, but you could use the Word of God. You could use a yielded instrument, which my voice will be today. Help me to communicate to the people what you've given through your Word today, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody look at me carefully. I'm going to start a little rough today. Christmas is over. I don't have to be nice. No, but I need to set a precedent here, and I want you to get the truth of today. This world says that if you go to church or your family lives for God, that somebody has brainwashed you. Your family is not brainwashed if you go to church. Your family or you are not brainwashed if you live according to the Word of God. If the evil, lost world does it, they call it education. If the Christian does it God's way, they call it brainwashing. Something doesn't make sense here. You see, brainwashing, the definition of brainwash means this: adapting radically different beliefs by using systematic and forcible pressure. In other words, it's taking someone, radicalizing them by forcing them to live something contrary to what is right. Now, listen to me. Church is only radically different from the rebels and God haters. Man wants to be his own God. This makes Christianity brainwashing to the world, but not to God. Let me, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. How many people in here were forced to go to church today? Huh. Guess there was no brainwashing involved. See, brainwashing literally is forcing someone to believe something contrary to what is right. You see, I would put my trust in God and His Word over what man says any day of the week.
Amen.
I do not trust what man says we should do. Every human mind is tainted and is dirty by sin.
Yes, sir.
Did you know you have sinned? Did you know I have sinned? Did you know that every human that has lived other than Jesus Christ has sinned?
That's right.
So why would we think we have a better way than God? If you could trust somebody who was perfect, who had never sinned, or you trust somebody who has lived in sin their whole life, which would you rather trust? But because man sinned by wanting to be God, humanism is nothing but man trying to be his own God. It started in Genesis chapter 3 when Satan tempted Adam and Eve, and he said, look, in the day that thou eatest, you could be like gods, knowing good and evil for yourself. You could choose right and wrong. You could be your own God. You don't need God. And we live in a society that is humanistic.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Every man wants to be his own God. We want to reject anybody that goes against what our sinful flesh, our sinful desires want. Now listen to me very carefully here. This means that every thought we have has a sinful hue or color to it. Unless it comes from the Word of God that is sinless and perfect. You see, I'm for educating everybody to read and write and to do arithmetic. You're looking at a man that's educated more people than everybody in this room put together, probably. I was a Christian school principal for almost 20 years of my ministry. I was an administrator in a Bible college that ran over 2,000 students every year. I am for education, trust me. But may I say something to you? Our educational system of today, our public educational system today, is who is doing the brainwashing, not church, not Christianity. Do you know you don't let your kids go to school, you're going to end up in jail? Sounds like it's pretty forcible to me, doesn't it, to you? Isn't it amazing? Back in the 1700s and 1800s, most people never went to school past 7th or 8th grade. And read some of the things that they wrote. Most of you couldn't comprehend what a 7th or an 8th grader wrote. You know, very few of the early presidents went to school beyond 7th or 8th grade. And yet many of them had college degrees and they only went to 7th or 8th grade in school. And they didn't have public schools. They were taught at home by mama. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
You see, our schools are the training rooms of young minds we now brainwash and propagandize to make parents believe that whatever the school says goes, and it doesn't matter what anybody else says. I'm here to tell you, your kids are your kids. You're responsible for them, not public education.
Amen.
It's not the school's job to feed them. It's your job.
Amen.
Everybody doing okay? Michelle Obama can keep her nose out of my kids' sack lunch.
Amen.
It'd be a cold day where the boogeyman lives before somebody would have gone through a lunchbox that my mom or dad packed for me and said, well, this is not good enough for you. It would have only happened once. And I know what would have happened. My dad probably would have gone to jail. But it would have been worth him going to jail for. The school system, by the way, isn't it a shame that when President Bush was president, he said, it's our goal to have every student read by third grade. And the public school system went haywire. You can't make us do that. You can't force us into that. Well, bless God, we had to read by the time kindergarten was over.
Amen.
Now, the reading level in America is so poor, it's unbelievable. And yet we want to trust whatever the school system says. Do you know why we have people protesting to get... And by the way, I am not for some of the things that have happened in our nation's past. But I don't think it's wrong to have memorials to certain people that did good things, even though it may have been a bad system.
Right.
I think it's wrong to get rid of our Civil War memory. By the way, the Civil War was not fought over slavery. It was fought over states' rights versus federal rights. Less than 2% of everybody in the South owned slaves. You don't fight a war over 2%. Doesn't happen. They didn't want a strong federal government. They wanted each state to govern themselves. By the way, those very states, if you look at their orders of secession, they called slaves property. Just like land, just like a house, just like a car, just like a tractor. They considered slaves property. That's wrong. But when General Robert E. Lee and others fought, they were fighting to save the system for America. They weren't fighting for the right for people to be slaves. Just so you know. Everybody doing okay? Go do your homework. Read things that were written prior to 1960, and you'll find out. See, Franklin Delano Roosevelt in the 1930s started changing education in America. He brought in evolution. He brought in the rewriting of history, and by the 1960s, everything had been rewritten. Start reading history that was printed before 1940 and find out what real history was all about. I'm not talking about when it was written. I'm talking about when it was published. Because, see, they've rewritten it since it was published first time. Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
Having fun. I haven't even gotten off of my introduction yet. Hang on. Evolution's been brought on by public education. Evolution was designed by Charles Darwin to help the communists get away from God. Evolution is a God-hating belief. It's not science. Global warming is man-made scare tactics to get everybody to do what the government wants you to do so Al Gore and a few others can make a lot of money. You now have the United Nations who voted in the last few weeks. Listen to this, that every member of the United Nations is to tear down any border wall so that there are open countries around the world. You now have people called gender neutrality where you don't know which bathroom to go into. Well, folks, I can make it real plain. You go into a room by yourself, and I'll show you a picture of plumbing, and you can figure out which one you are. Doesn't take much sense. You don't go out in the cow pasture and say, well, that bull doesn't know if he's a bull yet or not. He knows if he's a bull. And he doesn't want to be a cow. And there ain't no bull that wants to be a cow from a bigger bull. Y'all know what I'm talking about? When you were born, your birth certificate did not say to be determined later. You're either male or female.
Amen.
The ugly ones generally are the males. The pretty ones are generally the females. Nowadays, you got pretty boys. One come walking through the other day when we were out with my son Josh, and he said, oh, gag. And he said it about that loud. It was about 6 foot tall. It had a pink shirt on. It had a ruffled coat, skinny jeans. And it wiggled when it walked, but it was, I think, a male. My son just out loud, yuck. My daughter-in-law, Josh, stop. I said, I agree. She said, Dad. I said, what's he going to do, hit us with his purse? Good night. He said, you shouldn't be that way. Okay, don't be that way, but we were. Now, washing something requires cleansing. It implies cleansing is necessary. You don't wash clean things. You wash something to get rid of the dirt, correct? You don't wash something to make it dirtier. You don't take your clothes and go out to the mud hole and the overflow from the rains that we've had in recent days and go wash your clothes in the mud hole. They're not going to get real clean. You see, when someone says sodomites, gender neutrality, and immorality is normal, and Christianity in the Bible is bad, that is not cleaning something, it's making everything dirty. Sodomites and the homosexual, the LGBTQ and alphabet soup crowd, that's not making the world a cleaner place, it's making it a nastier, dirtier place. When we protect those who blow up people with bombs, and illegals who shoot our police and rob our country and protect murdering criminals and spare their lives, can I tell you something? That's not making America a cleaner place. When we call going to church and living the Bible way brainwashing, then they're the dirt and we're the clean ones. I know that this old world's going to get worse and worse because God told us it would. Listen to me, though. It amazes me how someone can get saved and clean up, and everyone that they were around with before says, oh, you must have got religion, got brainwashed. No, the gospel and God's word changes lives. It cleans you up. It doesn't make you dirtier. Amen. Brother Mike, when you were 27 years old, drunk, long hair, maggot-infested, drug-taken, immoral young man, Brother Mike got saved and God cleaned him up and he doesn't do that mess anymore. Amen. Everybody doing all right? You see, the gospel pulls people out of the filth of sin and cleans them up and adds a robe of righteousness to their lives. It only angers those who want to be their own God. It bothers them because now you've made their sin more sinful by being able to see it. If something is dirty and needs cleaned up, and we have the wherewithal to clean it, what's so bad about that? What's so wrong with cleaning up this old nasty world if we have the wherewithal to do it? By the way, your methadone clinics aren't going to clean it up. The gospel will. Your 10-step programs aren't going to clean them up. One step getting saved will. You can go to all the 10-step programs you want, and you might get clean for a while, but that's why they tell you you have a disease that you'll have for the rest of your life. The moment you trust Jesus as your Savior, gone, gone, gone. Yes, my sins are gone, and you're not diseased. You don't get diseased by alcohol. That's something that you do on your own. That's sin, not a disease. Amen. You don't go out to the local store and pick up a bottle of flu and drink it so you can get sick. You don't go to the store and get a bottle of chicken pox and drink it so you can get chicken pox. Amen. That's a disease. Alcohol is not a disease. Drugs are not a disease. It's sin, it's wrong, and it's not a disease. Amen. I got to hurry here. Number one, God says we're to wash our minds with his word. I'm going to give you some references. Don't turn there. You don't have time. I can quote most of them. We read in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, it says, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. Psalm 119, verse number 9 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way, but by taking heed thereto, according to thy word. Hey, this King James Bible will clean you up. That old black book right there will change your life. By the way, let me just go ahead and say it. The Bible is the soap and water that our society needs. We don't need synthetic Bibles. We don't need fake Bibles. We don't need man's version of it. We need God's words, not man's words from God. Man's synthetic Bibles are muddy water. The RSV, the ASV, the NIV, the New King James, the HIV for the Fruit Loops and everything else, those aren't real Bibles. If it says V on it, it's probably the wrong one. It's King James Bible, the authorized version, the only one for the English-speaking people. Do you know that the King James Bible is the only Bible in the world that the communists won't let in their countries? You know, the King James Bible is the only one not allowed in China. There's never been a major revival preached anywhere in the world, in world history, since the 1600s without the King James Bible. Not one. Everybody doing okay? I'm not even going into the Textus Receptus and all the other Latin Vulgate and all the other corrupt things. And can I tell you something? Textus Receptus is the right. Latin Vulgate is the wrong. The Catholic Bible has done nothing but corrupt people. That means this, we have the perfect, clean Word of God. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way, but by taking heed thereto according to thy word. That means you need to read your Bible on a regular basis. You ought to read your Bible every day. I don't care if it's one verse. I don't care if it's one chapter. I don't care if you read 100 chapters a day. You ought to read the Bible every day. Well, I just don't understand it, preacher. The more you read it, the more you'll understand. I think you ought to hear the Word of God preached. I think you need to be in Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night church. Every chance you get, you ought to be here. Let the preacher clean your plow every once in a while. Say why? Because that's what's going to clean you up. Some of you came out of rough backgrounds. You heard a crazy man like me preach. You thought, man, he made me mad. And the more you heard me preach, the more you found out I was right. Not because I'm right, but because God's right. It has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with His Word. I think we ought to live what the Bible says, not just read it and say, oh, that was a nice story. There's too many churches out there that have pretty sermonettes preached by preacherettes sucking on the cigarettes. And they have these real fancy sermons, and they got their follow the bouncy ball, and they got their TV screens and everything else, and they're all modern and contemporary, but you walk out and you have no idea what they said. Well, it might be plain meat and taters here, but you're going to know how to use what you got today. I think we ought to memorize the Bible. Did you know if you memorized one verse every week, you could memorize 52 verses a year, and in 10 years you'll have over 500 verses of the Word of God to memory? One verse a week. There's nobody in here that could not memorize one verse a week. Well, I don't know what verses to memorize. Just come see me, or just pick them out. It doesn't matter. You say, well, how would I do that? You'd have to read it over and over and over and practice over and over. I'm not lifting myself up. I live in the Bible. I have been preaching for 38, almost 39 years. I have preached almost 22,000 sermons now. I read through the entire Bible. I'm on my fourth way through for this year. I live in the Bible. I have somewhere between 35 and 3,600 verses to memory. I can sit here and quote scripture for an hour and never repeat the same one. Say, what is that? Because your brain is like a computer. Unless you put something in it, God can't pull it out. And God wants you to put His Word. Wherewithal shall the young man cleanse his way, but by taking heed thereto, according to thy word. If you didn't put it in, he can't pull it out. You've got to put it in. Our minds are dirty by sin, and we need the Bible to clean it up. John chapter 15, verse number 3 says, now ye are clean by the word which I have spoken unto you. That was Jesus speaking. He said, you are now clean by the word which I have spoken unto you. Did you know God gave us every one of these words, and He spoke it to man? He's talking about the Word of God there. He wasn't just talking to the disciples and the talks they had. He's talking about the Word of God, and these are the very spoken words of God. When we read here in the book of Titus, it wasn't Paul talking to Titus. It's God talking to all of us. Everybody doing okay? It'll clean your mind up. It'll get rid of the worldly philosophy. It'll get rid of the wrong fun. It'll get rid of the wrong desires in your life. It'll get rid of some of the sinfulness and sinful habits we have in our life. We need the Word of God to clean up our lives. It is the washing of the Word. Number two, I got to hurry. We need to wash our outlook of life with God's Word. We need to realize that how we see life is not as important as how God sees it. Listen to me very carefully. You are less apt to get bitter with somebody if you'll look at it God's way and not your way. You're less apt to hold bitterness in your heart against somebody that did wrong to you if you'll look at it God's way and not man's way. Well, you just don't understand how this person hurt me. Oh, God bless you. Come here, let me burp you too. I'll let somebody else change your diaper, but I'll burp you. Let's grow up and be big Christians. It's not easy. Nobody likes being wrong. Brother Mike, you don't like being wrong. I don't like being wrong. Hey, I get accused all the time of being a cult leader. It happens. I know there hasn't been a month of my life in the last 30 years somebody hadn't called me that. I know it. Can I tell you something? I have people that have tried to attack me. I've had people try to run me over. I've had people try to burn my house down. Not my old one, not my new one. And I'm not telling them where I live now. I've had people write all kinds of things all over my truck. Thank God my enemies aren't real smart and they only have 4-letter words that they know. Brother Mike, I don't enjoy that. But recently I saw one of my enemies. You know what he did to him? He saw me and did this. I walked over and I said, "Hey, brother, how you doing? Good to see you again." And I walked away. I reached my hand out. He wouldn't even shake my hand. He just, I said, "It's okay. It's still good to see you. And I'm praying for you and your family." I feel sorry for him. I do. I feel real sorry for him. He's miserable. Say, but that he's tried to destroy me, tried to destroy my name. Hasn't worked yet. You're going to have to get up earlier and work harder. You see, we need to see life God's way even when we disagree with God. Did you know some point in time in your life you're going to disagree with God? I'm not real sure why Brother Decker, 35 years old with 6 kids, fell over dead with a heart attack this week. But may I say this? I don't have to agree with God. And I'm not saying God caused it. Maybe he was supposed to be dead earlier in life and God preserved his life to get him this far. Everybody doing all right? Who are we to play God? I don't have to understand God. I just got to go on with it whether I agree or not. Right. We cannot believe man or the news or science when it opposes God's word.
You're right.
Just because they taught you in school that, the way we live is destroying the environment. We have to recycle plastic. It won't break down in our composition in the earth. Where do you think we got the plastic to begin with, ding dong? Did you know glass and plastic came out of the ground itself? It all came from there. Okay, now we have it all made. It won't break down. We can dig it up and use it again later. We got it that way the first time. Well, if we put too many cow farts into the air, it's going to ruin the atmosphere. California has a tax on cow farts. Too much methane. Some of you fellas better be watching out. They're coming after you. Your wife is going to tax you. Global warming. What a bunk. I'm going to make a statement here. Listen to this logic, and next time you hear one of these idiots talking to you, use this logic with them. If evolution is real science, then global warming will not affect us. because we'll be able to evolve ourselves into whatever necessary to survive, even if the world floods. We came out of the water according to them to begin with. Why could we not evolve ourselves back into it? Let's use their argument against them. If it's real science, it's not. We need to not take the news at face value. If you believe what ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, and Fox tells you, you need help. Well, Fox News is conservative. They're as wrong as the rest of them, just so you know. They're a little bit more right, but that's about it. You say, well, how do we get the news? Whatever they tell you, believe the opposite and you're okay. Number three, I gotta hurry. Listen to this very carefully. Getting saved is not brainwashing. It's heartwashing. It's heartwashing. First of all, you need to realize, if you died today, are you 100% sure you're going to heaven? Has there ever been a time where you trusted Jesus Christ and what he did for you and that alone to take you to heaven? If not, according to the Bible, you're going to die in your sin and die and go to hell. I don't like that. I don't like the thoughts of it. But I have to tell you the truth whether I like it or not. Can I tell you something? We just observed the Lord's Supper. And we talked about everything that Jesus did so that you didn't have to die and go to hell. Well, how can a loving God send anybody to hell? He doesn't. You choose to go there. Hell was made for the devil and his angels. And when man's, by the way, that happened before man was created. When man sinned, he committed the same sin that Satan did. God's justice required the same punishment for the same sin. America needs that system in our justice system today. Doesn't matter who you are, whether you once lived in the White House or were a politician or not, the same punishment applies. Amen. Can I tell you something? Jesus came and died for man. He did not come and die for Satan and the angels that followed him. God loved you so much, he made heaven available for you. He did not make heaven available for the angels of those that followed Satan because they were already there in heaven. Sin has a penalty. It's death. Jesus paid for it. And what you get to heaven, not by what you do, but what he did for you and you trust it. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but by the washing of the regeneration by his word. Titus chapter 3. John chapter 5. Let me take you to John chapter 5. You don't need to turn there. Trust me, I'm reading out of the right Bible in the right chapter. But John chapter 5, because I'm going to hit it running really fast. Verse number 36, the Bible says, there it is. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, he hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice nor at any time nor seen his shape. Ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they that are which testify of me. According to Acts chapter 8, verses 27 through 36, Philip stopped a revival meeting, left it with everybody else, went preaching in the desert to one Ethiopian eunuch, reading in the book of Isaiah, and he said, understand what thou knowest. He said, how can I except some man guide me? And Philip won him to the Lord, standing there in the back of his chariot, and said, there's water. What doth hinder me to get baptized? He said, did you get saved? He said, yep. He said, let's go get baptized. Notice it was because of the word of God, not because it was coercion of man. That's right. It's not live a certain lifestyle. Jesus said, search the scriptures, for in them you have eternal life. Amen. When I go soul winning, I use my Bible. Not because I don't know the verses, but so people see that it's coming out of the word of God. Can I tell you something? The wrong version of the Bible discredits the Bible. Well, there's just so many of them out there. How do we know which one to use? They have just tainted the authority of the Word of God. Now listen to me very carefully here. It is not just the preacher's job to take the gospel to every creature. It's every Christian's job. You know, it's not just my job to go soul winning. It's every Christian's job. Young and old. Everybody doing all right? Male and female. Well, I'm a woman. I couldn't talk to a man. Yes, you do. I've heard you talk. Did you know it's not just the deacons and the trustees' job to go soul winning? It's everybody's job. Did you know it's not just the Sunday school teacher's job? It's everybody's job. Did you know it's not just the nursery worker's job? It's everybody's job. Now, I will tell you this. If you have a position here at Grace Baptist Church helping, even as a layperson, you ought to be soul winning. You promised when you did that you would. Everybody doing all right? I didn't say it's your responsibility to have people saved. It's your responsibility just to go out and spread the gospel. We don't get anyone saved. God does. God does. Some idiot called me about 2 weeks ago. And he said, I've seen your bus down here in Winchester. He said, who do you think you are bribing people to go to church? Fee, fi, fo, fum. I had me the throat of a dum-dum. I said, sir, let me say something to you. Jesus said, go out to every creature. He said, compel them to come in. Well, you're just bribing them with a piece of bubble gum, or you're bribing them with a gift. I said, I'll get them any way I can get them. I said, let me ask you a question. How many visitors did you have in church last week? He said, none. I said, how many visitors have you had in the last month? He said, I don't think we've had any in the last month. I said, how many in the last 6 months? He said, well, we've had a few visitors this year. I said, sir, in my church, we've had visitors 50 out of 52 weeks. I said, we've seen hundreds of people saved this year. I can give you their name, their address, their phone number. I can show you who they were, where they were, who they came with, and everything about it. Well, you're just interested in numbers. I said, God put a whole book of the Bible named Numbers. Every time Jesus preached, they counted the crowd. I said, your problem is you don't have any numbers and it bothers you. I said, when's the last time you knocked on a door and told somebody how to get saved? He said, well, I don't think somebody can get saved in one conversation. I said, that's where you're wrong, because you don't believe what Jesus said. Preach it. I said, you want to believe that because you don't want to get off your blessed assurance and go out and do what God said. I said, you happen to talk to a preacher that has knocked on millions of doors, has seen hundreds of thousands of people saved, and I know where we're going, and God's blessing us for it. I said, until you do more than that, just do me a favor. Shut up and don't call me again.
Amen.
He said, you really did that? Mm-hmm. And I had fun. I had fun. Brother Hiles used to get criticized for running buses all over the Chicagoland area. Some preacher got up to introduce him one night. He said, well, Brother Hiles has a big church, but it's because of all those bus kids. Brother Hiles got up to preach, and he said, my dear brother, he said, you're right. We've got a lot of bus kids. He said, how many did you have in church last week? The guy said, we had 175. He said, we had that many in the toilet at one time. He said, we might have a lot of bus kids, but those bus kids are awful rich because our offering was $44,000 last Sunday. Shut him up in a hurry. Thank God we run a bus. Someday when we get in our new building and we grow a little bit, we're going to get a second one. Amen. And then a third one. And then a fourth one. And then a fifth one as we grow. You say, why? Because we're going to go out and bring them in. There's Nadias all over this place. There's families that need help all over. There's Daisies all over this place. Fine young lady. Can I tell you something? They're out there. We just got to go get them. Everybody doing all right? I'm having fun. Well, they might mess up our new church building. They might mess up the bathroom. No, I'm going to write on the wall first, not them. Get it out of your system. Do you want a clean house or do you want people getting saved and lives changed? I think we can have both. But I've been at the world's largest church many times and watched the water run down the steps from the bathrooms from bus kids plugging up the commodes. But I've also seen a man of God who saw well over almost 2 million people walk an aisle in his ministry. If he's willing to put up with it, guess what? So should we. We don't get anybody saved. God does. When I see somebody get saved, it's not, I saved somebody, Brother Mike. No, I didn't. I got to give them the gospel. God saved them. I didn't. I didn't do it. I'm not totally against brainwashing. If it truly cleans people up and they get to know what the truth is. Cleans up your mind to where you're not thinking like the filth of this world. Clean you up to the point where you're not thinking like the devil and his crowd. It will take the Bible. It's going to take living the Bible, reading the Bible, spending time in the Bible, spending time in the church, around people in the Bible, to clean you up enough to where you'll take it out and help somebody else get saved. Hey, brainwashing. Why is it that it's always the dirty crowd that calls us brainwashers? Why is it that when you want to clean somebody up, they call it brainwashing, but it's okay to teach your kids to go out and do drugs and it's all right? It's okay to commit acts of immorality and that's all right. It's okay. It's okay to take kindergartens and teach sex education to them. That's good and clean and pure and that's right. No, it's not. It's sinful. It's wrong. And they're the brainwashers, not the Christianity and not the Bible. You're going to get your brain washed. Let's get it washed with the word, according to what God said. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Who'd say, preacher, if I die today, I am 100% sure. I know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, hands everywhere. Thank you. Who'd say, preacher, if I die today, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know it. I won't embarrass you. I won't call you by name. Won't call you out. Would you say, preacher, that's me. I'm not 100% sure. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in the sermon today, something I needed personally. I needed that. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, dozens and dozens and dozens of hands. You may put them down. In a moment, we'll stand to our feet. When we stand to our feet, the piano begin to play. As the piano begins to play, if you've raised your hand saying the Lord did something, how about you use the altar here or kneel there at your chair? If you've been saved and never baptized, we can take care of it today. If you've been saved and baptized by immersion and like to join our church, hey, we're an old-fashioned King James Bible-only church. We'd love to have you.